Of Wynn Tucson. I'm your host, Kathleen Wynn, and we have, I think, Arizona held hostage election 2022. We still have a lot of things going on, and I know that we want to get this done. We have Thanksgiving next week, and I'm still hearing from many people just in disbelief about the process and the election and what happened. I was in touch with our guest today, Michael Schaefer. He's the CEO of an accredited electronics test lab. Michael is a subject matter expert in the accreditation of laboratories. It's the same accreditation that voting labs have, and he'll be explaining that to us. Schaefer graduated magna cum laude from the University of Pennsylvania, Wharton School Business, very prestigious college, and he is a PC in LD4 and has been very active in the grassroots efforts to stop the voting machines and those that are responsible for them. Michael, welcome to Wynn Tucson, and thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Kathleen. Glad to be here. Appreciate it.
And you gave me a number, an ISO 17025, and I didn't know what that meant. So I know that adds to the credibility that you have about what you're doing. I want to give my listeners an opportunity to have kind of, we had a conversation yesterday where you shared with me what you know about the law, the election law. And in Arizona Revised Statutes, ARS, all the election laws are under 16, so 16 dash whatever. And you believe that there's at least 10, maybe possibly as many as 15 violations of our Arizona election laws. So I thought we would like let you just say whatever you want to say to introduce yourself to people, but then get in, if we can, get into those violations of the law.
Yeah, glad to. And just a reference on the ISO 17025, that falls under the NIST, Operation of Our Government, which is National Institute of Standards and Technology. So that umbrella has requirements for test labs like mine, or test labs like the voting machine test labs must first meet that requirement before they have the ability to be, and they need to be accredited under that, and also accredited under other jurisdictions like the Election Assistance Commission.
I was just going to ask, our election equipment, are they accredited?
Well, they're not, and it's quite simple, and it's in violation of it. And if people are listening out there, I'd encourage you just to get a scratch pad. I'll give you some references as we talk. So
thank you.
A little homework here, and take some notes, please, and this will help educate you. And I really, my role in part today is hopefully to educate you, to increase your wisdom and understanding about, well, what happened? Why is it a problem? What does the law allow us to do about it? And where do we go from here? So I'm a solutions-minded entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs solve problems.
You're a perfect guest for our show because we say, solving problems. And I so appreciate your approach to what you're trying to do. So I do encourage people to get a pad, and we will have this information available after the show. So
excellent.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, so, or most of us can see clearly that not only has something significant and problematic occurred in our current election, but I think it doesn't take a hard look back to just 2020, when many of us felt the man that was in president at the time, Donald Trump, had a huge leading on Biden, who rarely appeared, and when he did, there was no one there. So all those things in our heart of hearts tells us there's something wrong, and we struggle when we see what we believe to be truth, and that's not being revealed. And so what I want to try to do today is just educate you as to what the many things that have happened. There's the voter rolls, ebb and flow, more get added, more get taken out, the people go to the ballot boxes and drop off dozens and dozens of ballots. Where do those come from? Are those legal ballots or are they illegal ballots? Are they from people who have the ability to vote because they're citizens, or don't they have the ability to vote because they're non-citizens? And we know our country has been invaded by many non-citizens. So all these things point to potential serious issues that could change the outcome of an election. Things like the Secretary of State, who also was responsible for overseeing the election while running for the office of governor. And most people see that as a serious conflict of interest.
And Michael, and I will say that we previously in Arizona's legislature used to have a law that said you had to resign to run the January before the election cycle. And Arizona's legislature removed that law. So that set this up several election cycles ago.
Yes, yeah, and that's good information, and you're right. And many laws not only got removed, but there was upwards of about 200 laws that were presented to enhance and improve election integrity, and our legislators were unable to pass them. And if you rode closely, and I met with many legislators and attend many meetings, there were a couple of people that were ran as Republicans but happened to vote regularly on these issues with the Democratic side, and it disabled our ability to get very important laws in place. So those didn't get in place. And this issue that we're talking about with the machines is a very specific issue. So essentially what I try to do as a business owner, I try to root cause issues. And in an electronics test lab, products often fail, and our engineering team needs to root cause. Well, what is the exact cause? What is the exact problem that's causing this device not to work or pass its accreditation, its test for certification? So then we analyze, well, once we identify the root cause, then what are the solutions, the specific and exact solutions, and what will it take for us to implement them? And that'll be kind of the foundation of our discussion today. And I want to stay highly focused in on what we see as a very viable solution. And I'm going to kind of walk you through it now. Is it okay now to do that, Catherine?
So, Michael, what we're going to do, because we are coming up on our first break, it's 9:15, and when we come back, you jump right into that. You're listening to Michael Schaefer, who is an expert on certification of these voting machines and other machines. And this is Kathleen Wynn on Wynn Tucson. We'll be back right after this short message. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. You're listening to Kathleen Wynn on 10:30 a.m. The Voice and my special guest, Michael Schaefer. So, Michael, please jump right back in because there's a lot of information we've got to get in. And you believe right now the only course of action is to nullify, revote, and do a precinct hand count. Is that?
Yeah, I think that's what we'll call is the remedy to the problem, best remedy to the problem. And so let me just talk you through this. So the voting machines must be certified. This is under, and if people want to take a note, it's 16 Arizona Revised Statute, known as just ARS 16-442.
B.
And then B is in Bravo.
Right.
And that law requires, and it's in accordance with what's known as the HAVA Act, that's the Help America Vote Act. And in the Help America Vote Act, it references the machines, voting machines, having to be accredited by a certified or accredited test lab. So I have to be certified by an accredited test lab. Certified by an accredited test lab. So if the voting machines are not certified, the question is, can they produce a certified ballot from them? And the answer to that is no. In my company, if we lost or our accreditation had expired, we would be unable to certify any product until that was taken care of.
Kind of like a suspended driver's license, Michael?
Exactly like that. Or if your neighbor came over and he married, you know, you and your girlfriend, you and your boyfriend, in your case, Kathleen, that would be a nullified, you know, you would not be married because if you didn't have the right requirements to marry you. So, yeah, people are given authority by different licenses. Attorneys can't practice law, you know, unless they're certified by the
real estate brokers and real estate law. So this has been going on since 2018, correct?
It has. And so just as an example from that, the person in the view right now, Secretary of State Hobbs, lost the election in 2018. She lost the election to a man named Steve Gaynor the night of the election when the ballots were counted.
Correct.
So she lost. The next day, ballots showed up from no one knows where. No one was able to ever analyze to determine if those were legal ballots. And Gaynor then lost the race to Hobbs, and she's been in this seat overseeing elections ever since. And I think the result of her oversight is apparent in the 2020 and 2022. So coming back to this 442B, the voting machine test labs had lost. Their accreditations had expired from the EAC prior to the 2018 election. And so the election went through and Hobbs won, and not too many people were paying much attention. And then we got into 2020, and all of us, or not all of us, but many of us, felt that the election didn't go in accordance with the will of the people, and that there were many illegal ballots that had been counted. And that thereby shifting the election, along with many other items that could have gone on with these elections. But just by virtue of this one point, and you can drop all of the other points that are valuable, worthwhile points, fraud, et cetera. Just, we don't need to break 17 laws to bring a suit to change something. We just need to bring one law. If someone murders somebody else by shooting them first, they die, hanging them after that, you know, chopping their head off, and then blowing up with grenades. Just one of those things is certainly enough. It's like Al Capone. He did lots of bad things, and they got him for the IRS.
Income tax evasion.
Tax evasion.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so we have to look for the Achilles heel. And the point that can make the change, and this is a very simple law. It's very easy to read. You can look it up yourself. It's less than a paragraph. It's very simple to understand. And so by applying that law, simply the ballots coming out of these machines are not certified because the machines aren't certified. And if the ballots aren't certified, let me repeat that, if the ballots aren't certified, it's not possible to certify an election with uncertified ballots that came from an uncertified voting machine.
And we have uncertified ballots due to the fact that we have an uncertified ballot machine. And there's some mischief around the paperwork, though. So they've updated paperwork, but the source is still not valid, correct?
That's right. Yeah, the maxims of law state if what's void in the beginning cannot be made right by something that's done later. So this is called the maxims of law. I can't go into the future and change something to make it look like what was done 2 years ago or 4 years ago is okay. That's just a premise of law. And what's happened is, and we have carefully time-stamped, dated, observed changes in these what I'll call falsified certifications over time, where, oh, it used to say this date, and then all of a sudden, you know, a year later, after our voice began to grow, there was another published document where the date was changed. And interestingly, under NIST, certifications are to be for a two-year time frame, because our lab may have different personnel, different equipment, and so they have to come out on a two-year basis to investigate, to inspect our lab. Can your employees perform the testing? Do you have the right tools to do the testing? And to affirm that, yes, this lab still has the wherewithal to do this work. And that, you know, has not happened there with these updates. What happened is all of a sudden, a new certification appeared out on the web. We've got a date stamped, time stamped, and it has a 3-year date. Well, wait a second, time out. A 3-year date does not meet the requirements of the law because these things have to be done every 2 years. Well, then later there were some modifications that did something else, and there's a person that signed it. We got the modification date. The person who signed it didn't work at the EAC any longer.
And they didn't have the criteria or the credentials anymore to do the certification. Is that correct?
So because it had expired and they never corrected the problem at its root, they tried to change documentation in the future to point backwards and say that was okay. So over the course of time, both the 2020, the corrections had not been made, they had not been published, and claims were made. Well, it was an administrative error. Well, this is critical infrastructure. If we sent the rocket to the moon and we had an administrative error that killed all of the pilots of the spaceship, then that would be a problem. And so here, there's contractual issues. The wrong people's names are on the signatures. That violates contract law. I can't come sign your mortgage statement for you, your mortgage documentation. I can't sign the sale of your house. You have to. And in this case, there's certain people at this entity that must be the signers of this. So the wrong people had signed it. In addition, we've done a timeline of all this stuff, that it's available on Rumble at MCSAZ42, and maybe we can put that in.
I'll put a link on my page, and we'll push that out, Michael. And I want to just say this back to you. So ARS 16-442B is a regarding voting machine certification. And we believe that there's a violation because their accreditation had expired. So they were unable to certify the voting machines. So therefore, they're unable, because the machines are not technically valid. You can't take then and certify ballots that come out of uncertified ballot machines. And so this makes our election uncertifiable. And the election has not yet been certified. And I believe that you said in Arizona and as many as 34 other states have the same issue, which is the HAVA Act, right? So am I tracking?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep. That's the size and scope of this is enormous for our country. But I happen to have some unique knowledge, and I've got a good education. But I work alongside of people. One is a referee. Now, he has an eye for the rules of the game. But so it's just, I work with a ex-policeman on this. So you don't have to be, an Ivy League grad. I love working alongside of these awesome people who have just taken the time to investigate for themselves, to begin reading the Constitution and reading the Arizona laws, because they're relatively understandable. And they say, oh, my, I don't believe what I'm reading. I don't believe what I'm seeing. I can't believe what's been done. I can't believe we let this slip and slide. I can't believe that our elections appear to be stolen. This is so important for the people. I believe this last election, people got the message after the last one. I think this election right here, right now, and the results that we see so far has woken a giant.
Well, I think people are frustrated. People are frustrated. Obviously, the conservatives, Republicans, I'm going to say even independents, showed up on election day to vote. And there was a systematic failure in Maricopa County. And you can't say that there wasn't, because there's so much evidence, and evidence, not anecdotal evidence, real people coming forward making affidavits. And so we cannot deny that the systems in place did not work. But on top of that, the system failure, the machines themselves are required by law to have the certification, and they don't. So we just conducted an election with equipment that is not valid. And that's the most important thing. Michael, we are coming up on a break. Can I get you to stay one more segment with me?
And of course.
Okay,
yeah, of course.
Great. So you're listening to Kathleen Wynn and Michael Schaefer. We're talking about 2022 election. Was it valid? Stay tuned. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson, brought to you Monday through Friday by me, Kathleen Wynn, where we promise to turn down the rhetoric and turn up results. So, Michael, I just want to say, this is big news. Are you, you guys are doing something today, correct, in Maricopa County? Are you still?
Yes, okay. So, yes, we are. It's a rally, a driving rally, like we used to have around the outside of the loop. This loop of cars, you know, driving together peacefully, respectfully, just to assert and state, you know, our concerns about this election and our desire. And it's, we're not even asking that the by virtue of the laws of Arizona, this election is nullified automatically because the votes were not certified. In fact, make a note, the Arizona Constitution in Article 7, Section 7 says specifically, it's just one sentence, in all elections held by the people, not by the government, by the people in this state, the person or persons receiving the highest number, mark this, legal votes, only legal votes shall be declared elected. Simple as that, violated, it's nullified, quite simple. We're just going to have a revote and a hand count at the precincts so that we got eyes on this, and both parties should sit side by side. This is not a Republican and a Democratic thing. There are people, the voters, are disenfranchised, they're disgusted, they're saddened by what they see. They can work side by side. Both of them can look at the vote. If someone, there's a disagreement on one of the ballots, a third person can come in and intervene. But very simple, been done for years and years and years, and that's essentially and exactly just what needs to happen. It's not a big deal. We don't want to make a big deal about it. We just do a revote. It's happened many times in the history of the country. So, and the other aspect of what's so important to know, write this one down, 16-673, that's another Arizona statute, and it gives us only a window. This is another law that changed. There used to be more time. Any elector, which means voter, any voter of the state may contest the election of any person that's declared a winner in the office. They just need to present grounds for what has happened, evidence, you know, what has happened, what they've observed, the machines rejecting ballots, that's grounds. The Eric the Voter rolls, that's out of state, that's grounds. These voting machines being uncertified, those are grounds. Just bring it with grounds to the your county superior court. It's designed, it gives you the little template, how to fill it out, because it's designed not to use attorneys if you don't want to or can't afford them. You and I, voters, can take this. It's Arizona 16-672 through 677.
I think it's I think it's ARS 16673 through 677.
It starts at 672. What I just said was from 672. So, and that's where it says any voter of the state may contest the election.
And there's a form there. And we will put this on our website. So if you want to fill out this form, if you witnessed something or you saw that, it, or your own ballot was rejected, you can fill out this form and send it to your superior court in your particular county. Because we have 15 counties in Arizona. I'm not confident that something bad happened in every county, but we know for sure in Maricopa County and in Pima County, we also have the hand count litigation going on in Cochise County. We know during the primary, Pinal County had issues. And so we have laws. And although I don't think people were aware of this law, and I think that right now, if you feel that you were disenfranchised, that you didn't, that your vote may or may not have counted, people are still questioning, they haven't been able to see if their vote is counted, that it's important that we don't miss this time, because in the law are time constraints, and that we have to do this right now. Michael, if someone wants to do this and they go to this and they get this form, is there a group or people that they can contact to make sure they're doing it the right way? What can we direct our listeners to do?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have a website that's 2020isnullified.com. You can go there and register and leave notes about what you're trying to do. We have an account where we're trying to raise money to help people if they feel they need an attorney. We don't want them to be disenchanted. Well, I don't know how to do this. If they need an attorney to help them, we're trying to raise some money, and that's a Give, Send, Go account. Give, Send, Go /2022 is nullified. So givesendgo.com/2022 is nullified, and we're working on raising money for the people to hire attorneys if necessary to do this. We are also planning to do some things on our own with a collective group of people around the states. But the most important thing, you only have 5 days after the canvass to submit it. If you're day six, the court can kick it out. So within 5 days, we have taken this to the court. You might say, well, God, why didn't you guys do something about this? To the court, six times, to the court, six times, rejected every time. So the courts are part of the problem. We're working on cases to go against those judges and attorneys and put them on notice. They have a responsibility and a duty under the Constitution to allow the people's voice to be heard.
And Michael, when they're rejecting it, what are the judges saying? That this law doesn't apply, that the certification doesn't matter, or have we not tried this case under
never.
The... Okay.
They never looked at the evidence. They kicked it out like they did President Trump's case, the 17 attorney generals that brought a lawsuit after the last election was kicked out of the Superior Court. And the terms are either jurisdiction or standing. And so that's this law that I just shared with you, 16-672, gives us standing, but only for 5 days. Now, the reality is under the Constitution, we truly have standing, and they're ignoring the common law of us, the people. This country was founded on common law by the people, for the people. It's we, the people, that instituted the government. The government reports to us. We don't report to them. We're upside down there. Up is down and down is up. Right is wrong and wrong is right. Boys are girls and girls are boys. We live in a wrong society, and we, the people, need to fix it. And so we need 3% or more. We don't need 100% of everybody in the United States. A small group in the Revolutionary War took the country from Great Britain, who was usurping our rights.
I've received, and Liz Harris is on the line, Representative Harris, who just was elected. And so, Matt, is there a way to add her? Okay. Liz, welcome to the show this morning.
Hi, good morning.
You've sent out, and Michael, do you mind? I'm just going to add Liz.
No, Liz, I love Liz. She's one great patriot.
Wonderful. So, Liz, you sent out a press release yesterday, and would you share with my listeners, Michael probably knows, but would you share with my listeners what you said yesterday that you're willing to do?
Sure. I'd like to read it, if you don't mind.
Please read it.
Basically, press release stated yesterday, although I stand to win my legislative district, it has become obvious that we need to hold a new election immediately. There are clear signs of foul play from machine malfunctions, chain of custody issues, and just blatant mathematical impossibilities. How can a Republican state treasurer receive more votes than a Republican gubernatorial or Senate candidate? I call on all state legislators to join me in demanding a new election. I will now be withholding my vote on any bills in this session without this new election in protest to what is clearly a potential fraudulent election. Signed, Liz Harris, MBA.
Thank you.
There.
That's great. And Michael, that is another way to handle this. But I think it's important that people understand the point in Liz's press release. Liz, I think the numbers, when people who do statistical analysis and look at the numbers, obviously, everyone in the country knew about this governor's race. You'd have to be living under a rock. And so that the number of votes in that race being substantially less than the state treasurer's race is it doesn't make sense, right?
Correct. But what happens is we have a faction of Republicans, and they come out and say, nope, it's because Republicans pick such bad candidates, and they're referring to Carrie Lake, Mark Fincham. They're basically saying Kimberly Yee, the state treasurer, was so moderate, so that's why the number of votes is higher for the treasurer because she's the moderate one. She's the gentle one. She's the kind one. And I'm going to tell you that narrative, I do not believe. I think if you did a poll and you asked who Carrie Lake was and you asked who Kimberly Yee was, most people are not going to know our state treasurer is Kimberly Yee. And I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to put her down, but it's just the mathematical likelihood of Carrie Lake getting less votes than Kimberly. It's not likely at all. And I wanted to point out something else, that there were other races in the Arizona House. It was projected by great people like, you know, George Kaloff and some others, that in the House we were going to have a 5-7 person majority. And in the Senate, Arizona was going to have a 3-5 person majority. Well, what happened? We have a 1-person majority in the House and we have a 1-person majority in the Senate. I can tell you right now, those elections need redoing as well. Voters were disenfranchised on November 8th. I was hoping to have spent November 8th going poll to poll to poll, but instead I was on the phone, like conducting my own mini war room where people were calling and trying to figure out what was going on. Eventually we got to what the issue was, but by then it was mid-afternoon and a lot of people had already walked away from the polls.
I agree. We have to take a break right now. Can I get you both to stay into the next break and we finish this conversation into the 10 o'clock?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, wonderful. Thanks, you guys. You are listening to 10:30 a.m. The Voice. This is Kathleen Wynn on Wynn Tucson. The election, was it fair? Was it legal? Can we do something about it? We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson, where it's time to speak up, solve problems, and bring solutions to everyday concerns. And the concern right now is, was this a fair and free election? So, Liz, what are your seatmates saying? Are they concerned that this is the tack that you're taking?
Okay. Yes, they are. They're very concerned. And I've been sent, you know, they're sending private messages among one another. And unfortunately, they always seem to get back to the person you're talking about. And what it's just the truth. What a lot of the criticism is, like one comment was, I can't believe this woman has an MBA and she doesn't understand how elections work. That's the pettiness. And it doesn't matter who said it. Just the fact that it was said about a fellow Republican legislator who's a freshman and she wants myself, I want to come in and I want to see effective change. So I made sure, so I'm on a thread with a lot of the freshman legislators and the senior legislators, and I let them know, this is my press release, here it is. And the comment was like, well, don't you realize if you don't vote on things, Liz, that's like a vote for the Democrat? And I'm like, yes, I'm trying to make a point. I need you guys to come on board, to do the research, to understand that just because mainstream media says that all this work that all these great patriots have done has been debunked, that doesn't make it true. And I really believe the majority of our legislators believe that an election that's been compromised is conspiracy theory. And here I am now. So in 2020, I lost my race. So I didn't have much, I didn't have any clout to say, hey, something's wrong here, but I went out, did it, and proved it with the canvas that I did.
Yes, you
but
did.
Now here I am, I'm in a winning position, and I'm going to tell you what, the people of Arizona mean more to me than that seat. And I hope people are understanding that that is the attitude that politicians should have. But what happens, and to the majority of my future seatmates, winning their next election is more important to them than diving down into the truth on these machines not being certified. I mean, we can talk about that all day long. But what happened on November 8th, people left the line. There were polling voting centers that had 200 people. And because our statute says you have to call out, voting poll closes at 7 p.m., not as long as you're in line by 7, you can still vote. When they when those poll marshals shouted that out, by law, people understood that to be, oops, I missed my chance, and they left the line.
Well, and you also keep going. Go ahead.
No, but those lines would not have been as long as they were if we didn't have the malfunction with the printers. So the real malfunction, I'm sure you know, was with the printer. It was a different pound paper. Some are saying the images were not formatted to the size. But I know one voting center. There was a gentleman, Purple Heart Marine veteran. He figured out what the issue was at 8 a.m. in the morning, and he told his poll marshal, you have to turn off that printer. That printer is not printing the ballots right. And he was ignored. He went and got it turned off, and then the poll marshal's writing him up. Do you understand? Like, these were the dynamics. This is what was really happening on November 8th. People were stressed out. They were poll hopping. They were going from one poll to another poll, looking for a shorter line or just a polling location that would accept their ballot.
And you'd understand, though, that if someone had checked in at a polling place and left that polling place and went someone else, then they were told that they had already voted. It could, because
correct.
So they couldn't really leave. Someone likened it to Hotel California. You can check in, but you can never leave. So there was Gina Swoboda last week. I think the important thing is that when it started to deteriorate and break down, we also had drop boxes. So people were sticking their early ballots in, and the drop boxes became overfilled in box 3. No one wanted their ballot to go in box 3. And at some point, box 3 was so filled, they started putting ballots in garbage bags with zip ties. And so this doesn't give any sense of confidence or security for our elections. In Mesa at Central Christian Church, the machines weren't working. So the poll workers there handed people ballots and told them to take their ballots home and come back. And they hoped that the machines would be working later in the day.
Wow.
You can't do that. And when one of the candidates in that district pointed out that that was not illegal, that was illegal, she was chastised. So I think we have many issues. And to Michael's point earlier, you know, if you shoot somebody, then you hang them, then you cut off their head, then you poison them. The fact that you shot them to begin with is the issue. And the fact that these machines are not certified, that these machines didn't work, I think you can just start to compound. But obviously, Arizona statutes were not followed. And if you have an illegal election, the results of those elections need to be nullified. And I think that's what you're both saying. Michael, can I get...
Yes.
So kind of recap for us a little bit, if you don't mind, and then...
Yes. So when people certify products, it's to make sure they work properly and in accordance with the rules and regulations of that what they're supposed to operate. The failures of these machines this time and in the past is just reveals that they haven't been properly certified by an accredited test lab, and that isn't something like you do once in their life. Anytime there's changes on any of these machines like firmware in accordance with NIST, that would require another certification. So certifications aren't done like once 10 years ago. They're done over repeatedly to continue to verify, is it working right? Verify, is it working right? Verify at least every 2 years and or if there's a significant change. And that didn't happen. They're trying to go back to the beginning. So that with that being said, I was a poll marshal. I was out trying to reveal to the people what's happening with these Dominion voting machines that are failing. And yes, we had long lines as well. But and when we say we have to have it nullified, my position is it automatically nullified itself. If my neighbor married me and my wife, we wouldn't have to nullify the election. It never existed. These voting machines were never certified. The votes are illegal. It is nullified. All we need to do is, and it's done before in the courts, we just revote and have these hand counted at the precincts. Very simple, very simple, very easy. A little bit of money invested, but to protect our people, to protect their elections, that'd be the best money this state has ever spent in the history of the state.
So I'm talking to Michael Schaefer with 2020isnullified.com, who's contesting the 2022 general election results that really aren't valid, and State Representative-elect Liz Harris. You guys, so today you're doing the drive-by, no shooting, but you're going to just voice your concern about the election. Michael, what is the or Liz, what is the time frame? Because we're are we canvassing right now? When is our 5 days start?
Yeah. No, once the canvass, and Liz may have a better answer to that. I don't know that they said it. I've heard the date of maybe December 5th-ish was when the canvass, but remember, only 5 days from the canvass to maintain our standing as voters in there. The event today is going to be down, peaceful event. We just want to, you know, get the people out working together, talking with one another, meeting one another, driving our cars around downtown. We can meet at 510 South 3rd Avenue, which is right by MCTEC, where that's where the voting actually occurs. It's just sort of a landmark where this all stuff is happening down there. So come, smiles, and it's going to be a friendly, peaceful event. We just want to meet other people who are like-minded and come together, support one another.
And give your website again, Michael, just so people, if they want to go after the
2020isnullified.com. It's 2020isnullified.com.
Okay. Liz?
Okay, so we're actually asking people not to go to MCTEC because they're still working there. We're asking people, or I know of people asking people to actually go to the Capitol and to kind of stay away from where they're still working and from run back, just to go to the Capitol. And my prediction is that this is not going to be a one-day event, but that this is going to be an event that goes on for days and days or weeks and weeks. Because people are upset, they're frustrated, they want resolution, and it's all I can say is that it's a shame that of the 47 Republicans that were just elected into office, that I may have one colleague that stands with me on this new election, and I would like to see all 47, and Democrats, because this is a nonpartisan issue. I would like to see the Democrats join us as well.
It is a nonpartisan issue, and it's naive to think that when your side wins, and I'm going to put that in air quotes, that this isn't an issue, because you're in the moment getting what you want. But the long-term ramifications of not having fair and free elections is dangerous. It's dangerous to the Republic. It violates the Arizona Constitution. It violates the U.S. Constitution, and that is not the country in which we live in. I want to thank Michael Schaefer and Liz Harris for joining us today. And please do not ignore this and do everything you can. If you have something to say and you were disenfranchised or you saw something, make sure you take the time to fill out a legal form and let everyone in your county know that this happened to you. And
thank you, Kathleen.
You guys, thank you so much, and keep fighting
thank
the
you.
Fight. I support you, and we will circle back. We've got some time. So I want to just thank Michael and Liz for being here today. And then also, I just want to say, it's Friday. Go Wildcats. Go Cardinals. Let's hopefully turn this around, because we need some victories in our world today, and it's important to not ignore what's happening right now. Go out and make it a great weekend, and thank you for listening to Win Tucson. I'm Kathleen Wynn.